there's different skills that we can help them understand. Like, you, fundraising is valuable for any part of your life, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be for your own organization, for, you know, for nonprofit organizations, for your kids, you know, if they're selling popcorn or selling candy, like, understanding ways that you can fundraise to help even your kids' clubs that you know that you're supporting and you're sponsoring. So a lot of these skills are transferable, not to only business. And that's what I really want to build over time, is to build almost this curriculum of business skills that can be related to any part of your life. And because we don't always want to just develop just the professional aspect. We want these people to understand, like, how does this really translate in real life? How does this really translate in my own personal relationships? How can I use these same skills that I've learned in Community Impactors and transfer that to my day-to-day life?
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Bauberg Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here live with Kyle Palmer. Kyle, what's up, man? How are you?
Ben, always a great to talk to you, man. I appreciate the time today.
Dude, I appreciate you being here. You're the founder of Community Impactors. I've dabbled with you guys. What I mean by that is we've co-hosted an event. I've been to a few of these networking events. I love the mission. I love the vision. Tell us, you know, from a bird's eye view, what Community Impactors is and what you're trying to accomplish here.
Yeah. Community Impactors, to me, it's a group of, a networking group of young professionals. They're focused on their communities through service. We're an active group that prides ourselves on serving our community through ways of community service, whether that be through volunteering, fundraising, donating our time to local nonprofit organizations, through committee and board member roles. But that's, in a nutshell, that's who we are.
Cool. So you've done a lot of events. Give us some examples. You know, do I need to be a community impactor to come to an event? What kind of events do you host? How do you guys, you know, service the community? Anything like that?
Yeah. So I would say at this point, we're still kind of in our infancy stage too. I mean, we've been active since September of 2020. So in the past, I guess, year and 3 months now, we've done things such as, donating money to the Ebro American League for Thanksgiving dinners. So it was our first fundraiser, I guess we'll say, our first donation once we first got started up. And then this year and last year, one of our members, Brianna Calabrese from Robert Half, set up an event through her company that allowed us to donate gifts to kids at the Sojourner Home where we go onto an Amazon wish list. We purchase a few items from them, and then they get sent to Robert Half. She does all the wrapping, and her and her team do all the wrapping and organizing and deliver those gifts to those children. So that's something that we're doing for this holiday season. Like I said, sometimes it's as small as that. Outside of that, we have done things like a lot of us have taken action in the Alzheimer's Association, where we did our own longest day event. For instance, I tried organizing a home run derby. Didn't go as expected, but I did learn a lot in that particular experience. But I was still able to raise about $800 for that event, where we had a couple other members of the group that did their own individual fundraisers as well. That's always a good time. And then, you know, more recently, as you mentioned too, so prior to our event with Make-A-Wish, you, I, and a couple others of the group were involved with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, which, you know, I think it was a great program to be a part of with the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation, where we did our own individual fundraisers again. And, you know, I did a wine tasting event, which I think went really well, raised about $1,800 during that event, which I couldn't be more proud of.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a good time, right? Nothing like sipping wine with friends and making some new connections and sharing the stories of those living with cystic fibrosis and those caregivers. It's really something where you can help the community, help share their stories to others and help see what our impact is actually doing or what our donations are actually going towards. And then lastly, like I said, the event that we held in October, I believe it was, we did the Make-A-Wish Foundation. We did a happy hour in conjunction with David Mamano and his comedy show. We did, a couple hours prior to the event, we held what I believe it's my top fundraiser to this point. And I'm, obviously thankful for your partnership there, but it's as simple as just gathering together and having a couple of drinks. And we did a couple of activities such as the 50-50 raffle and a couple gift box giveaways. And then, a lot of people just felt the need to donate. So I think we really made a difference there.
I love the concept. I mean, a wine tasting, a comedy show, these are fun. So you can go have fun and create impact in the community as you do it. So what exactly is Community Impactors? Is it a business? Is it a networking group? Is it a event promotion company? Is there a definition? Is it a little bit of each? Or how would you define what you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, it all spun out of a networking group. That's kind of how we've started it. And obviously, I want to keep that aspect of it. To me, it is a networking group. But at the same time, it's a place for young professionals to gather who are like-minded, right? It's people that are interested in making a difference and making an impact in their local communities. So, out of the networking aspect, when Ben Burke and I originally had conversations on how we were going to build the group, he was an Eagle Scout in the Boy Scouts of America. I was a Cub Master, voluntary Cub Master who was running a local Cub Scout pack here. Just on my spare time. I don't have kids. I was just donating my time to make sure that I was spending it in the community and helping young children, both boys and girls were a part of the group. And helping them, for me, it's like if they're in a group, if they're spending time with Cub Scouts, at least they're not out on the streets getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. But both of us came from that background of really being involved in community service. So when we started developing the group, we said, hey, listen, why don't we, we don't want it to be just another networking group. There's so many networking groups in Rochester. You can go to anywhere just to network and meet new people, right? We didn't want to be just another networking group. We wanted to be with a purpose. The purpose was making a huge difference and making a big impact within our communities through service. And we felt that was the most important aspect of the group. And since then, we've kind of added on, in the coming year, especially, we're going to be looking at adding on some professional and leadership development opportunities to put in front of the group. Because I like developing leaders. I want to make sure I'm giving everyone an opportunity to get the training that they need, to get the education they need when it comes to being a leader in their communities.
I like that you use the word purpose and, professional development, leadership. A lot of people are listening are probably thinking, I want to be a part of this, or I ultimately want to come and teach. I'm a leadership coach. I'd personally love to get involved any way I can, but I like that you bring that out because a lot of people network for the sake of networking. And like, I don't even really understand what networking is exactly anymore. It's like I'm doing networking and everyone just hands out business cards and gives their 30-second elevator pitch. Well, this is something a little bit different than that because it sounds like you're hosting events and community events, and this is a way you can get involved and do something good, but also meet people. Is that networking? I guess probably, right? But you're doing something good, but also meeting people while doing it. It's not just like handing out business cards, right?
Right. And then I think too, I mean, as I said, I know I've been a part of my fair share of networking meetings.
Oh, me too. Me too.
Yeah. It's like, what are we doing again? Other than me collecting a pile of business cards that I hope that I'm going to do something with when I get home, do I send LinkedIn follow-up messages? Do I put you on my email list? Where does it go? So, I mean, like I said, with that in mind, it's like, if we're going to get together anyways, why don't we get together for a purpose? Why don't we get together and do something outside of just exchanging business cards? And those happy hour events obviously have proved to be successful. And one, not only getting us together and having drinks and sharing stories and making introductions, but at the same time, while we're there, we've done it in various ways. It could be just as simple as buying drinks, and then they donate a portion of the profits to some of these local nonprofit organizations, or we do a raffle, right? Or we do some of these activities while we're there. It also keeps people engaged in the event, which is nice. So, there's ways that we can use our influence to be able to make those impacts. And that's what I want people to see when they come to our events. And you don't, like, for a lot of the happy hours, you don't have to be a part of the group to be at the event, because really we're looking for like-minded that care about the communities, that want to be a part of giving back, that want to be a part of, lending a hand and volunteering. And if you're not, then like I said, we'll be able to spot you. You're not hard to spot when you're looking in the crowd. But we're looking for people that are like us and really want to, help us move the ship forward. But yeah, like I said, sometimes it's as easy as having a happy hour and sharing drinks together, and money goes to the organizations that it needs to go to. Mm.
I love this. And I know you're committed to this. You're not blowing smoke. I hadn't really thought about the concept of we can spot you. You're just there handing out business cards, trying to get business, but not actually collecting business cards. Tell me about your background. So you started Community Impactors in partnership with Ben Burke, and you guys both had a little bit of community service background. Why, though? I mean, was it something that your parents said, Kyle, you need to do community service, and embed it into you? Did you have like a life-changing moment where you realized you had to start giving back? To put myself in a vulnerable spot, there's a big block in my life where I didn't do anything but like go to school. And then after school, I just worked two jobs and I didn't really give back at all. So I had one of those aha moments where I'm like, oh man, like, are you draining? Are you sucking on the world? Are you giving back to the world? Like, what are you doing, Ben? So I'm not perfect. I'm wondering if you were just raised that way, or if you had a moment like that, or just tell me a little bit more about your why and your reason and your purpose.
Yeah. As much as I would say that it was kind of instilled in me, my father has always been, he's always been that person. You can ask any of his, like when you talk to any of his friends, or when I have conversations, he'd give you the shirt off his back. Mm. Like he's one of those guys. Right. Nice. We didn't do a lot together as a family. We didn't do a lot of volunteering and community service type stuff. Right. So I can't say it was really instilled into me from an early age. I think over time, I've been gone from my previous career, as of 2019, and 5 years prior to 2019, I'd started this, repair shop within my company. So the company I used to work for is called Cellular Sales. They're a large authorized Verizon retailer. Worked for them for 13 years. Great company. Enjoyed it. So they trusted me with creating a lot of programs for them. Mm-hmm. One of them was cell phone repair shop here locally in Rochester. They'd recently just closed down, actually, over here on University and Culver. So I created that, developed it, and then hired some technicians. But what I found, and really what got me involved in the Cub Scouts, was I was going to work and I kept telling myself, I'm like, this isn't making the impact that I want to make on the world. I wasn't being fulfilled by just going to my job any longer. I knew deep down that I wanted to do something more, but not for me. Me growing up, I was thankful for the community that I had around me. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped me get me through my childhood years and young adolescent and young teen years to adulthood. So I was very thankful for my community. So I knew the impact that it can have on even those in the community, what impact I could provide and what resources I could provide. So, as I was there at my previous job, again, I was just like, I'm not making the impact that I want to make. I'm fixing phones. These are just like drunken clumsiness breaks. This isn't like the impact that I want to make. Is it helpful for people? Sure. Yeah, I mean, I get that. It helps bring new business into the company. But I said, for me, it just wasn't fulfilling on the that end of things. It wasn't fulfilling for me to feel like I was doing something that really helped me feel like, you don't want to say help me feel good, right? It's, but it does. It gives you some sort of self-worth that you're doing something for your community. So from there, that's when I, you know, my wife was like, why don't you do Boy Scouts? Because I'm an active hunter. Her family was involved in the Boy Scouts. Her brother was a scout. Her dad used to be, he was a volunteer scout leader as well. So he's like, why don't you get involved in the Boy Scouts? And then I walked in the front door at the Boy Scouts, and which was their dream to see a volunteer just walk through their front door. And that's where it kind of started. And then for over time, continued to work that group through 2019 and then left there. And then I said, then got involved in those networking groups. And I was like, well, there's more of me out there. I know there is. I just have to start something to attract them to me. And then that's where Community Impactors kind of spun out of.
Isn't that funny how that works? You start something to attract more of you, and it's really that simple. It's the if you build it, they will come concept, field of dreams. Anyone knows that's an ancient reference now, but if you build it, they will come. But ultimately, yeah, you're surrounding yourself with like-minded people. If people are like, I am that person, I want to give back, I love Rochester, I love Western New York, what should they do? They should attend an event? Is there virtual meetings? What should be the next step for someone to learn more and get involved?
Yeah, so there's a couple of different events that we do. So we have some networking meetings, but you know, as far as like virtual meetings versus in person, obviously. So we do some virtual meetings. During those virtual meetings, those are typically for people that have shown interest into Community Impactors, who I've had conversations with, who have been introduced to me, who I've met at some of these events. And then, you know, if it's something that you want to learn more about, like if someone is interested in Community Impactors, say, hey, listen, how do I get involved? How do I learn more? How do I know anything at all? One is you can connect directly with me. You know, connect with me on LinkedIn. I've gotten quite a few connections from people just introducing them to me to talk about Community Impactors. It's my passion. I love talking about Community Impactors. I love sharing the vision and the goals and what we're, you know, what we're going towards. So one is just having a one-on-one discussion. If you don't want to have, you know, if you don't want to do a one-on-one virtual meeting and you want to meet me in person to make sure that I'm a real human being, then you can join us at a happy hour. I try to hold happy hours once every couple months. And I know like right now we're getting into this weird stage of, are we going to be in person very much longer before we go back to whatever? I don't want to even bring it up. But, you know, just trying to navigating that. And obviously we'll do what is necessary to keep make sure that we keep everyone safe. But for now, for instance, like, you know, this will be recorded or this will be released in January. But we have these events so that people can come meet us. They can not only meet me, but they can meet other members of the group to see who we are, to fill us out, to make sure we're a good fit for them. It's not just about whether they're a good fit for us, but, you know, we want to make sure if they want to join the journey, that we're a good fit for each other. It's a working relationship, and you know it's best for us to get to know each other first, right? Go out on that first date and shake hands and share a drink together.
One thing that's great about Zoom is, yeah, you don't, if you're nervous or you're not sure, you don't have to go and attend a long event. You could just give Kyle a message, have a quick conversation on Zoom on LinkedIn. I'm bringing this up because you mentioned first date, and it's just like in the dating relationship, in the connecting with someone you don't know yet world, it's never been more simple. Reach out, hop on a 10-minute Zoom call, get to know each other, and if Community Impactors is a good fit for your love life, I say that jokingly, obviously, it just might be. Now, I'm wondering, so I get the what you're focused on now. And I'm curious if you've thought about like long-term goals and where this will go, because obviously not everyone's going to be welcomed in based on their values, but more and more people are going to want to join. Is there going to be multiple chapters of Community Impactors? Are you going to try to keep it as a small core group? Do you want to go national, international? Have you thought about any of these big, big concepts yet?
Oh, man. I make a joke with people. I probably think about Community Impactors more than I think about my business.
Okay.
So thinking about long-term goals and what I believe is possible, and that's even believing what's impossible in my current state, right? That's not even to say that in a year from now, I'm like, man, I was thinking small. But really, I think about, for one, I want to make sure that I'm building a solid foundation here in Rochester. You know, right now it's my roots. It's where I belong. It's where I need to work on first and really build that base, a strong base, so that I can then look at ways that we can duplicate this, and so that we can move to, Western New York and to Buffalo and Syracuse. And if we see that it's a good working model and we can expand this a little bit more, then maybe it would be across the state. For me, the one thing that I see, and the one thing that the couple things that I think about is, I want our group to become a life cycle, right? As you're in high school, as you graduate from high school, as you graduate from college, start introducing you to Community Impactors, start sharing with you what we're about and what it means to serve your community and what it means to be a leader in your community. And then, as you continue to grow out of those stages, then you're introduced to that young professional that, I kind of focus with young professional, right? Kind of means something different to everyone, but age group wise, I think of it as 25 to 40 is the age group that I kind of identify as that. But that's not to say that after 40, you become nothing. Right? You become, I'm just floating out here in Never Never Land. I want it to become as you kind of age through, you get into this almost advisory group, 40 plus. These are, I don't want to say senior or seasoned, experienced. Mm-hmm. But, they just, the wisdom that they've gained that they can share with the younger groups to help them develop in what they know. And, I think about ways that we can create leaders in our community. When I say the moonshot stuff, I'm like, I think about the moments that we can help develop somebody, the impactors, and then to put them in positions of leadership within their own corporations or within their own organizations, as well as, in local government, right? Someone that sees the same values as us, and then create a scholarship around this. So as people come through high school, we can give them an opportunity for us to help, give them a scholarship towards college or wherever they want to go.
I love the scholarship idea. I love that this is very slow. It's very guerrilla. It's very organic, one-to-one relationships, mentorships kind of thing. It's not just raise your hand and get as many recruits as possible. It's finding the right people. And I like the whole system of like helping someone at a very young age, and then they work their way into more of like a senior mentorship kind of role. And I'm having this thought right now, Kyle, if there's any way to get into high schools and colleges and high schools, there are business classes in high school, maybe just one, but one or two. Colleges, if someone's a business major, minor, can we get reps from Community Impactors into these schools to talk about relationship building, to talk about networking, to talk about how it helps with business? And then you get them while they're in college. Few years later, they're the one teaching that class to the college student. Man, I'm thinking about this as we go, brother, but I love the idea of taking it slow and educating people and kind of bringing them on and then bringing them to a higher role and then a higher role. What are your thoughts on that? Have you had that idea? I think colleges are a hot spot.
Colleges are a hot spot. I think one of the things that maybe college students aren't currently getting is the understanding of what networking really means, right? You know, we find a lot of people that have graduated and come out and they're like, what does networking mean? Like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know what to do with my hands, you know? So it's just one of those things where, my goal with the group is, you know, as we continue to develop, is to start create these, workshops that we put together, these specific workshops regarding networking, regarding, especially like, you know, how do I fundraise? I think that's the biggest thing. Like, if you ask someone to fundraise right now, it's going to be this fight or flight moment, right? They're going to run from it because they're like, what does that even mean? I mean, I know that I did. Mm-hmm. When they asked me to raise money for Alzheimer's, I was like, I don't know what to do, but I'll figure it out, I guess. You know, there was, so for me, there's different skills that we can help them understand. Like, you, fundraising is valuable for any part of your life, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it be for your own organization, for nonprofit organizations, for your kids, if they're selling popcorn or selling candy, like understanding ways that you can fundraise to help even your kids, clubs that that you're supporting and you're sponsoring. So a lot of these skills are transferable, not to only business. And that's what I really want to build over time, is to build almost this curriculum of business skills that can be related to any part of your life. And because we don't always want to just develop just the professional aspect, we want these people to understand, like, how does this really translate in real life? How does this really translate in my own personal relationships? How can I use these same skills that I've learned in community impactors and transfer that to my day-to-day life?
Yeah, how does it translate? Build a curriculum. And this is stuff that you can utilize anywhere in life. It's a good point. Everyone should know how to fundraise. Let's talk about some of this curriculum, whether it's fundraising, any of the business stuff, goal setting, networking. What are some mistakes that maybe you made, or just a teenager might make, whether little Kyle made it or you've seen a lot of people make? Well, what should be like our 101 course? What are some of the lessons you would teach someone? And you already said some of these: networking, fundraising, impacting the community. But where should I start? Like, if I were to start fundraising or networking or any of these things, and I haven't ever done it before, where should I start?
Man, that is that's a good question. There's a couple places, because like I said, with that already had curriculum in place, it's like I'm searching for the information. So there are a couple sites that I haven't dove into yet as far as that, but I always take advantage of things like YouTube. Mm-hmm. There's more than likely more than one video on how to fundraise on YouTube, or even on, if you scroll through Pinterest, type in fundraising, there's a bunch of mom bloggers that have been on there posting about everything, anything and everything. Right.
Yes.
But I don't know. I have this written down, but I don't know if I learned this from Rochester Business Connections or Build Your Business Better with Andrew. And I feel like it came up in conversation in one of these podcasts, and is utilizing your local library. Is not something that I've ever really done much of. That's kind of on my list this week to go to. Because one, I want to learn what it means to build, to make community impact as a 503c nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. What do I need to know to make that decision? That's the best place to find the resource. And what I was unaware of is, based on what I was learned and what I was told, and I'm going to go test that out this week, is they'll actually help you do the research, the librarians, those that work there. So you can, you can say, listen, this is what I'm looking to do. What can you help me with? And they'll do some of the research for you. So I'm going to be testing that theory out and see if that would be helpful. But I think the local library is a great place to start. Like I said, outside of that, most of my stuff comes from podcasts and YouTube where I've spent most of my time learning a lot. It's where I spent most of my time learning how to fix cell phones. You literally learn anything on those things. So those are great resources. But that's why I want to create that curriculum so I know what other types of business skills that could be used for the group. Especially around, like I said, around leadership and around professional development. You know, for instance, I know that emotional intelligence is important for people to know, but not many people read about it. But it's very, it can be game changing mm-hmm. for a leader.
You're spot on. I'm going to test that theory too. The local library idea is brilliant because I'm one of those guys. I'm the same way. I've got a phone, I've got a laptop, I've got podcasts, I've got YouTube, I've got books. I can get the information on my own. But the concept of showing up and having someone do it with me and actually love and enjoy doing it with me, if this is a true statement, like I want to spend more time at the library because, yeah, it's their job to help service you answer these questions. I know personally, if I just were to type something into Google,
so many links. Like what is good information? What is bad information? You're just sifting through it all. What is opinionated? Just like, to me, like, I don't know, I guess I trust a book more than someone's opinion or blog on the internet.
100%. And even if you're great at research, you've got the moral support of having someone there with you. Let's get out of the house. It's been a sad couple of years for a lot of people. In fact, I can go hold an old traditional book and get help in my library. You didn't hear that on my podcast. It must have been Andrew's, but I'm like, I love this idea. I love it.
Yeah, I was going to do that today before we started the podcast here. I just working on delegation is what, so I did not make it there. So my plan is to get there tomorrow.
Hey,
but enough. I'll let you know. I'll keep you updated on what I find out. I hope I find out some good stuff.
So I want to go rapid fire in a second, but while we're on this whole research library thing, what are you curious about? Like, what are you going to look up at the library? What is sparking your interest these days? It can be anything. It can even just be something for fun, but what are you curious about in your role these days?
For me, I've always, you know, like I said, really, there's two things that I think about, you know, outside of like when it's not personal stuff, like I think about how can I continue to get knowledge to be more proficient in my insurance business right now? So is there stuff that I can learn there that they could provide me that I could help educate myself on? And you know, how, like for running Community Impactors, the group, I've learned, like this past year, 3 months has been a whole learning experience for me. You know, I don't have a business degree. I'm learning how to kind of putting steps in place. So for me, my curiosity is really circled around the group. How, you know, what does it mean to be a 503C? What are the do's and don'ts? What are what are ways that I can organize this, right? I can't, you know, how do I bring in income to the group so that we can be sustainable over time, so we can actually pay people to, one, manage some of the stuff like the marketing and the web development and the back end stuff, right? How do we keep engagement and retention of our members? Those are the things that I'm currently thinking about, because, you know, like I was told you a little bit earlier too before the podcast, that volunteering is, It especially when you're like this, and to think that, like, just is all based on volunteer basis, and run this group, but things get delayed, things get prolonged because the priority of some of the members is, it's not the top priority for them, mm-hmm. right? And I understand that. I'm not oblivious to that. I understand that people have families, people have their jobs and income that they have to worry about. Those are top two priorities. And I understand that volunteering is just another task. Can feel like another task if they're not committed to the cause. So, you know, it's good for me to learn on how I can, ways that I could fund the group, through sponsorships or through, a membership platform, but just kind of laying stuff out side by side to see what's the best for the long-term benefit of the group. And that's where, like, the past month and a half, I mean, since our, Make-A-Wish foundation when I told her that I was or the night of after I came home, and I just journaled as much stuff that was going through my head of what I could potentially build this group to be with the right team in place. But like I said, it's just finding people that are committed to the cause. But yeah, just like I said, putting some stuff where we can automate that's paid for that we don't have to think about, that makes our responsibilities a little less on the just, again, shaking hands, meeting people, introducing them to the group. That's the impactful point for me, not running a website or managing members or like that. That's it needs to be done, but I don't want to be the one responsible for that. I just want to pay someone to do that and focus on what's important. And that's the people that are standing right in front of me.
Yeah. It feels good to make a difference. And you've kind of, you're going through the cold, hard truth that you can affect more people if you do a little bit of dirty work to build the foundation of which you can build on top of. But yeah, it's tough because a lot of people don't want to volunteer their time. However, I feel like if you can build a strong enough foundation, people will be happy to do it. And yeah, it sounds like you'll long-term have a budget to make it even worthwhile for to kind of bring people in and do bigger events and affect more people. So it's good that you're putting in the work to do it, because an idea like this can only go so far without all these things you're working on. I ask what you're curious about, and it could be like rainbows or hunting, but you're like, I'm curious about how I can scale this and make a bigger difference. And I appreciate you taking the time to do just that, man.
Yeah, it's like I said, this is my passion. I enjoy it. Is it a lot to manage sometimes? Absolutely. But I do it because I love it. And I know in the end what the true impact can be if I just stay focused. So as much as I'm not a person who reads fictional books, put it that way. It's always self-help, business. Mm-hmm. It's that stuff. I'm constantly just feeding my brain and how I can see different perspectives and how I could really think about the full picture.
Let's go rapid fire, but let's start slow at rapid fire, because I sometimes ask this question, but I want to ask it right on the top. Okay. You mentioned you love nonfiction reading. Any essentials come to mind? Any top three essential books that, let's go back to the young adult, maybe a college student or a young business person or a new business owner that's just now getting into networking and starting their business and being their own boss. Any essentials you'd recommend?
I'd say the first book that really made a difference in my mind shift switch was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Huge, you know, and, you know, I grew up with a father who, you know, blue collar, you know, he just worked and there was no other way. He didn't know of any other way to provide an income to the household. It was just work. But learning that was essential in my mind shift from employee to self-employed. Mm-hmm. And it was a long journey to get here, but we've made it. Number two, and this was recommended by one of my mentors, who happens to be my best friend from high school, was emotional intelligence. And I talked a little bit about it earlier, but in order for me to be a more effective leader, whether that be with community impactors or whether that be in my own business as I grow my business and start bringing on new agents and new advisors, I have to understand who I am and how I communicate with people. So Daniel Goleman writes a book on emotional intelligence that I would recommend. And then the nice thing is too, is if, you know, Harvard Business Review, the site, Harvard Business Review, I think it's hbr.org. They provide a lot of great resources that I highly recommend you check out. Anyone check out, especially in the young professional entrepreneur space. Like I said, it's really just, you have to be vulnerable with those types of things. You have to understand who you really are, and you have to peel back the onion to say, am I that person? Do I watch what I say? So, the book on emotional intelligence was huge for me as I developed as a leader. And thirdly, one that I'm reading right now, which I know that you also have in your book.
Yeah.
Is this guy provided to us by Rush Schwarzbeck and it's called Take the Stairs by Rory Vaden. I think whether you're a young professional, a high school student, a senior professional, I think that book is huge. If you haven't started it, if you haven't read it, and especially where my mind has been lately, it's like, oh, this book, I started to read this book at the right time. It talks to you about self-discipline, and it's huge. It's huge.
Self-discipline is huge. I've got this is low self-discipline for me. I got to admit to you, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that's probably been recommended to me at least 10 times, maybe even more, but I still haven't read it yet. So I feel like I need to like buy it right now, because if that gets recommended to me one more time.
And you don't know what we're talking about?
I know. Here's the thing. I've heard about it enough that I feel like I could give it like a synopsis on it. Like,
yeah.
I could probably write an essay on Rich Dad, Poor Dad just from the amount of positive feedback I've gotten, but I haven't read a page yet. Robert Kiyosaki, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that one. Rich Dad, Poor Dad was the first one that really opened my eyes up. But then I also read Cash Flow Quadrant, which was also good.
I've never even heard of that one.
Yep, that's another one of his books. If you don't have Rich Dad Poor Dad on your bookshelf, make sure it gets on there. It's worth the read. It's huge.
So I said we're going to go rapid fire, and then I asked a long-winded question. So let's actually get...
I made it a long-winded answer, so...
Dude, and I'm good with that. Shorter answers, most of them are either or fill in the blank. And we'll start with coffee or tea.
If this was 11 years ago, I would say sweet tea, but I am a full New Yorker now, so I am 100% coffee.
Well, where are you from originally that it was your sweet tea guy?
I'm from the great city of Lakeland, Florida, and all we drink is sweet tea. Don't even bring unsweet tea into the question. You'll be looked at weird.
What's the best flavored tea? Is it just sweet tea or do you like flavored teas?
It's like standard Lipton that you buy in the box at Wegmans. Like, it's not even a flavor. it's sugar flavor. That's what it is. It's sugar just flavored tea. It could also be diabetes is how sweet the sweet tea can be on there.
Extra sweet. Sweet tea with extra sugar.
Extra sugar.
Are you a morning person?
Absolutely a morning person. I've tried to grow a routine of try getting everything that I need done for me done before the workday starts.
I like that. Yeah. Get it done reading for you before.
Yep. Once the day starts, you've lost all control. You don't know what's coming. So you got to spend those first couple hours after you wake up for yourself.
So while we're there, 6 o'clock. Let's dissect that. So what are you doing in those first couple hours?
So the first couple hours is, you know, outside of your standard wake up, brush your teeth, shower, making sure that I make myself breakfast. I've got to eat within like 30 minutes of being awake. It's either eat or, you know, I've now kind of been changing my diet towards more of like a, you know, fruit smoothie kind of thing. But then it's really keep myself accountable to reading. Reading at least 10 pages of a book, of a development book, spending time reading my Bible or diving into my Bible application and what the verse of the day is. And then, outside of that for business, I've been doing a lot, been doing some education around just continuing education stuff. So taking some courses on, like right now, it's just life insurance with business, how to, kind of strategies to use that. And, trying to get to the gym as well. Just get, a good 30 minutes of exercise. Doesn't have to be like hard workout if that's not your thing. But for me, it's, just most of the time it's cardio, getting on the treadmill, getting a good run in, getting on the stair stepper, maybe riding the bike. Just get that heart pumping.
I love this. So a lot of people aren't morning people. Let's say they stay up late. They wake up, it's 8:30, they're just drinking coffee, they've got this the boogers in their eyes. And Kyle's already like ready to crush it. He was on the treadmill. He's already got his mind going, got the blood flowing. I'm not a morning person, but I do something similar, and I appreciate no matter what time. Here's the thing, you don't have to be a morning person. No matter what time you wake up, just push that back an hour just so you can do some of these things and get a little bit of momentum, right?
Mm. I'm a huge time management person. I'm probably too honed in on time management. So, you know, if your day, like if your work day starts at 10 o'clock, you know, like I said, well, if you know that it starts at 10 o'clock, well, why don't you have those 2 hours before to make sure you do some stuff that's focusing on you, you know, whether it's yoga or meditation. I think now more than ever, we need to start paying attention to our mental health. So getting some meditation done, like just taking some time. Be present with yourself, but some things that are for you before the day starts, because once the day starts, you've lost all control. You don't know what's coming. Anyone will steal your time that will take it. Mm-hmm. So that's what's really important.
I'm with you, man. In the show notes, we're going to put Kyle's calendar. I'm just kidding. I want to see how specific, when you say you're into time management, I kind of want to see exactly how you allocate everything.
My wife once asked me to share my calendar with her. I said, you don't want to see that. You don't want that calendar. You'll get my after five calendar is what you get. So that way, you know, like what my day looks after five when you're home. So you know what to expect.
I'm imagining, and I have one of them, one of these calendars where if you're looking at the calendar view for the 30 days and mm-hmm. just every day is just a brick wall because there's so many little things on it.
You can't see what you're doing. I'm like, I don't know what any is. They're filled, but I can't see what's in it.
So Kyle, man, I could talk to you all day. I mean, I'm not just saying that. We talk all the time. We're probably going to talk offline. I love hearing when, you know, we co-host a big event and then you're like having trouble sleeping, you're journaling, you're clearly passionate about it is my point. And I love that about you. I appreciate you taking the time. Obviously you mentioned you have your own business, but your focus for the audience is Community Impactors. But if someone wants to work with you, reach out on LinkedIn, you already said that they could. Well, what mm-hmm. should we do? Just give you a call, LinkedIn, email? What's the best way to reach out?
Yeah, I am fully available on all of them. LinkedIn is probably a good way. I have a habit of checking that daily, making sure that I'm keeping contact with people there. You can find me, Kyle Palmer. Probably my handsome face with an old bullet on it, unless I get that updated here soon. Their email, kyle.palmer@16solutions.com. And as much as I want to get my phone number out here, you can message me and I'll give you that personally if you want that. But I'm open to any way of communication. I'm open to coffee, maybe tea. And we might slice some tea in there.
Okay.
I'm always open to have conversations and see how we can be resources for each other and how we can, potentially work together and make a difference in our community.
And if you really want to get on Kyle's good side for Christmas, or this is coming out after Christmas, but any day, send him a big old handle of sweet tea, extra sweet.
Public sweet tea, if you can grab that.
dude, it's... I appreciate everything you're doing, and I appreciate you taking the time today, Kyle.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on again.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@balbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.